This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, I'm Adam Berkmans, and today we're making Hoppin' John with braised venison shanks. This recipe was created by Harvest of Nature founder Justin Townsend. He writes, "Hoppin' John is an amazing Southern American dish with an interesting history. I was raised believing that eating black-eyed peas on New Year's Day was the only way to solidify a year's worth of good luck. As a kid, I was not allowed to end the day without at least a spoonful of black-eyed peas. My family is still very superstitious when it comes to this tradition, but no matter, I now enjoy black-eyed peas more than just by the yearly spoonfuls. Historically, Hoppin' John is a culmination of the many worlds that contributed to giving the Old South its culinary identity. Born in the rice-rich lands of the Carolinas, this dish incorporates rice along with cow peas, black-eyed peas, or other beans, and is flavored with bacon or ham. Following the cookery methods brought to American South by African enslaved peoples, the rice, beans, and broth are cooked together. This method is what makes it Hoppin' John. Most modern methods cook the two separately, which I refuse to recognize after tasting the result of the steps below. I wanted to add a wild game component to this meal. I do not believe that I'm the first to think of this, as much of the historical American South survived on some sort of wild game meat at one point or another. I braise the antelope shanks in a slow cooker overnight and use that braising liquid throughout the remainder of the recipe. My preparation of Hoppin' John follows the traditional preparation as much as I could, except for the addition of Harvest of Nature waterfowl blend. The resulting meal was remarkably balanced and wholesome. I was very happy to share it with my family, who gave the meal two thumbs up as they solidified their good luck for the next year. There's nothing like cooking magical food that also pleases the diners. Good luck and enjoy! Thanks, Justin. Hoppin' John seems to have originated in the Lowcountry regions of South Carolina's coastline, where the Gullah people began the tradition. They would have likely used Carolina gold rice and either Geechee red peas or Sea Island red peas to make the dish. There's been a resurgence in interest in some of these ingredients lately, with several people working hard to save them from extinction. I've had the chance to try them, and they are definitely worth seeking out. The inspiration for this dish probably came from similar African dishes like the Senegalese tibinabe or other similar pea and rice dishes in West Africa. Africans arriving on American soil would have used what was available to them to make dishes like they would have at home. The earliest mention of Hoppin' John in literature comes from the book Recollections of a Southern Matron, which was published in 1838. The dish was likely being eaten well before that, making this a very old food. Although it has been forgotten exactly how the name for the dish came to be, some historians posit that the name came from bastardization of the Creole French word for black-eyed peas, which is pois pigeon, and thus means pigeon peas. Pois pigeon, Hoppin' John. Yeah, I can see that could happen. The dish is considered to be lucky due to the shape and colors of the individual components. The peas are said to represent pennies or coins due to their round shape. The original red Geechee peas would probably have looked even more penny-like. Greens like collards, kale, mustard, or turnip are often added to the dish, representing the green of American currency. Cornbread, which is also traditionally served alongside the dish, is the color of gold, representing, you guessed it, gold. Some other money-driven traditions surround the dish as well, including hiding coins in the dish or under the pot, counting the number of peas on your plate, thereby predicting how much wealth you'll find in the new year, or leaving 3 peas on your plate after finishing the dish to ensure that your new year will be filled with luck, fortune, and romance. If you're able to stretch the leftovers to the days after New Year's, the dish becomes Skippin' Jenny and demonstrates your frugality, another sure sign of wealth in the new year. No one knows quite why it became a New Year's food, but people were writing about it as one as early as 1907, meaning it likely had already developed into quite the tradition already at that point. Maybe it was because the winter hearty staples like dried beans, smoked pork, dried rice, and cornmeal were what got you through the winter if you were lucky enough to have it. Maybe it was because people were looking for a boost of luck and wealth for the new year, and the symbolism of the ingredients of the dish fit the bill. Either way, it has been eating for luck on New Year's Day for well over a century. Question is though, does it work? As a test, I ate a big batch of Hop and John on New Year's Day this year, counting up 37 peas in total. As the year winds down and we head for another New Year's in a couple days, I check my bank account to see how my wealth fared over the year. $37 in my account. Astonishing. Maybe this coming New Year's I should take a second helping of peas, though. Hoppin' John isn't the only lucky food eaten for New Year's. In fact, there are quite a few lucky foods eaten all over the world that are supposed to bring wealth and luck in the new year. One I grew up with as part of my Dutch heritage was oliebollen, literally translated as oil balls, which were fried rounds of dough, often studded with raisins or currants, and dusted liberally with powdered sugar. We'd eat them every New Year's Day, hot out of the fire. Yum. Eating these on New Year's brought luck as well, though not in the form of wealth. Oliebollen were eaten to save your damn life. According to some historians, oliebollen were eaten by Germanic tribes in pagan times during Yule, or the turning of the year on the winter solstice. During this time, the cruel and very hungry goddess, Perkta, would fly around and slice open people's bellies with the cursed sword for the delicious Yuletide delicacies inside. Eating oliebollen would provide a layer of grease, causing Perkta's sword to slide right off your belly, leaving you intact with your Yuletide treats safe. Leave it to the Northern Europeans to come up with something so dark to explain why they like eating donuts. In Greece, a dessert called Vasilopita is cut open at the stroke of midnight and eaten on what is technically New Year's Day. A coin is often hidden in the moist, often orange-scented cake, bringing even more fortune to the lucky one it chokes on it, finds it. The tradition of eating a special New Year's cake is actually popular around the world, with lucky cakes found in France, Mexico, Bulgaria, and elsewhere. The Irish traditionally left buttered bread or sandwiches on their doorsteps for hungry children to come collect on New Year's Eve. This would bring luck while simultaneously showing that you were wealthy enough not to be hungry and feeding the poor. I bet the birds loved it too. The Irish had another bready tradition where the man of the house would smash a barn brack, or a fruitcake, against the door to banish hunger from the land in the new year. The children would gather to pick the pieces off the floor, adding dirt claws to whatever the hell is in a fruitcake. In Spain and some parts of Latin America, many will eat grapes on New Year's, copying an older tradition thought to be from France. It is said that one must eat 12 grapes in the first 12 seconds of New Year's to welcome 12 lucky months. These grapes will often come peeled and packaged in little containers for the occasion. In Portugal, grapes must have been hard to come by in January since they follow the same tradition, but with raisins instead. Anything round will do in parts of Scandinavia, where tiered round cakes made of marzipan are often served for New Year's. For the less ambitious, round donuts also do the trick. Keeping with the fried doughs, in Mexico they eat buñuelos, or crispy fritters, on New Year's Eve. Once finished, they smash the ceramic plate that they were served on, symbolizing breaking with the past and welcoming the new for the new year. I think I like this one. In Korea, dukduk, a soup made from meat, stock, and rice cakes, is eaten for the Lunar New Year. The white color of the soup represents purity and new beginnings, while the round rice cakes represent coins and wealth. The Japanese enjoy soba noodles on New Year's Eve called toshikoshi soba, meaning year-passing noodles. These noodles are longer than normal, representing health and longevity, while the buckwheat they're made from represents strength and resilience. The noodles are slurped rather than cut, as cutting is seen as bad luck. So is eating them at the stroke of midnight, so get your slurping in early. The Chinese also enjoy longevity noodles for the same reasons. They'll be sure to eat a whole fish for their New Year's dinner as well, since the pronunciation of the Chinese word for fish also means being abundant, and so symbolizes well-being and prosperity. Dumplings are also considered lucky to eat on New Year's, and a representation of wealth, as they resemble coins or coin purses. Dumplings are considered a lucky food from Eastern Asia all the way to Eastern Europe. The Polish, and many in Scandinavia, enjoy pickled herring at the stroke of midnight. The silver skin is said to represent wealth, and is supposed to bring a year of prosperity. There are many other food traditions too, all surrounding eating certain foods for luck, prosperity, and health. Could all these disparate foods actually bring luck for the new year? After researching the edible superstitions of countries all around the world, I think I've come to a point where I can distill it down to a surefire way to provide yourself with a lucky, healthy, and enjoyable new year. Surround yourself with loved ones, sharing real food and drink that was made with love. That's the common thread, and it's definitely the key to a new year of luck and happiness. Some rice and beans probably wouldn't hurt either though, and Justin's recipe is a great way to go if you're planning on making some. I wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and hope that you have a very lucky New Year.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This recipe serves four and takes about 8 hours to make. Ingredients. For the shanks, 2 full antelope shanks, 1 tablespoon oil, 1 tablespoon Harvesting Nature waterfowl blend, 1 teaspoon salt, 4 cups of beef stock, 3 garlic cloves smashed, 1 celery stalk chopped. For the Hopping John, 1/2 pound of dried black-eyed peas, 3 strips of bacon chopped, 1/2 cup of diced onion, 1/2 cup of diced bell pepper, 1 clove of garlic minced, 1 celery stalk diced, 3 cups of the reserved raisin liquid, 2 tablespoons of Harvest Nature waterfowl blend, 2 teaspoons of salt, 1 cup of Carolina gold rice rinsed and drained, thinly sliced scallions for garnish. To prepare. For the shanks, bring a large pan to high heat on the stove. Rub the shanks with the oil, the Harvest Nature waterfowl blend, and salt. Once the pan is hot, sear each side of the shanks. Turn on the slow cooker and set it to low. Place the seared shanks inside and add the stock, garlic, and celery. Allow the mixture to cook for 8 hours or until the meat falls off the bone. I cooked mine overnight. Once cooked, remove the meat from the slow cooker and set it aside. Strain and reserve the braising liquid for the next steps. For the Hoppin' John, place the black-eyed peas into a bowl and cover them with water. Allow them to sit while you complete the following steps. Bring the Dutch oven to medium-high heat and stir in the chopped bacon. Brown the bacon and then remove the bacon from the pan, leaving the grease behind. Stir in the onion, bell pepper, celery, and garlic. Cook, frequently stirring, until the onion turns opaque. Drain the remaining water from the black-eyed peas and stir the peas into the pot. Add 3 cups of the braising liquid from the antelope shanks, the Harvest Nature waterfowl blend, and salt. Bring the mixture to a boil, reduce the heat to low, cover, and allow it to simmer for 45 to 60 minutes, or until the peas begin to soften. You don't want them to completely cook and split. While waiting, shred the antelope meat. Once the peas are al dente, then there should be about 2 cups of liquid remaining. Add more if needed. Stir in the rice and the shredded antelope and bring the mixture back to a simmer. Cover and allow to cook for 20 minutes or until the rice is done. Serve with the sliced green onions atop. Enjoy! For more great wild fish and game recipes, be sure to subscribe and follow Antler and Fin.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.